إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار إخوتي في الله, last week we mentioned the hadith of Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه that was collected by Imam al-Bukhari in which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said إن من أشراط الساعة أن يرفع العلم ويثبت الجهل. Verily from the signs of the hour is that knowledge will be raised and taken from the people and ignorance will be prevalent. We didn't get into discussion as to how Allah Ta'ala was going to raise the knowledge from the people. Nor did we talk about what is going to be the evil result and the condition of this ummah when the time comes in which the knowledge of al-Islam, the knowledge of the deen, is raised from off of us. Where you can find the average Muslim, as it happened to us in a majlis just last Sunday, in which the word shirk was used in front of a Muslim who was born a Muslim, raised as a Muslim. The word shirk was used, and he didn't even have an idea or a concept of what shirk was. This is the condition of the Muslims today. So, what are some of the reasons why the knowledge of al-Islam is going to be taken from out of the minds and the hearts of us as individuals and as an ummah? This ummah that has a special place and a design that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed to be the best example for the rest of the people. As he said about us, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. You are the best ummah that has been brought forth for the people. We should be the ummah that is in the forefront of all of the sciences that are beneficial to mankind. Instead of us looking up at other ummahs, they should be looking at us, being protected from us or by us, and being given a nice life because the Muslims are knowledgeable in their practice of religion. So these reasons and these causes and these effects, they are many. We're going to discuss two very important ones. The first of which is so important that as you sit there, Ya Abdullah, wa Ya Aba Abdullah, wa Muhammad, wa Ahmed, wa Ibrahim, each and every grown adult male and female in this masjid, he should feel responsible that he is contributing to the fact that the knowledge is going to be taken out of the heart of the people of this ummah. All of us as we sit here, we are contributing to the knowledge being taken away from us. And that comes to us from the authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, in which Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said that he was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَشَخَصَ بِبَصْرِهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ قَالَ هَذَا أَوَانْ يُخْتَلَسُ الْعِلْمُ مِنَ النَّاسِ حتى لا يقدر منه على شيء فقال صاحب من أصحابه من الجلساء يا رسول الله كيف يختلس منا وقد قرأنا كتاب الله ووالله لنقرئنه أبناءنا ونساءنا وليقرئنه أبناؤنا نساءهم وأبناؤهم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم له سكلتك أمك يا زياد إني كنت لأعدك من فقهاء أهل المدينة هذه التوراة والإنجيل عند اليهود والنصارى فماذا تغني عنهم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his companion. He looked up into the sky for no reason that was apparent to them. And he said to them, this is the time. The time is approaching. The time is close in which the knowledge is going to be taken away from the people. There was a companion who was sitting there by the name of Ziyad ibn Labid from the Ansar. May Allah be pleased with him. Who said upon hearing that, O Messenger of Allah, how is the knowledge going to be taken away from us? And we are reading the book of Allah, and we're reading the Quran and teaching it to our wives and our children. And wallahi, our children are going to reach and they are going to teach the Quran to their wives and their children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, may your mother lose you, Ya Ziyad. And this dua or this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is figurative. It is not literal that he wants his mother to lose him. When a person hears something that's strange, a question is asked that shouldn't be asked. The Prophet used to say that to people. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu asked him, Ya Rasulullah, أَنَّحْنُ مُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ. Mu'adh asked him, are we going to be held accountable and responsible for what we say? The Prophet said, may your mother lose you, Mu'adh. How are you going to ask a question like that? The answer to it is well known. So that's what was the implication behind this statement to Ziyad radiallahu anhu. The Messenger of Allah went on to explain to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, by saying, this is the Torah and this is the Injil that the Jews and the Christians have. But how has it benefited them? That's the hadith. So we understand from this hadith what? That the Jews and the Christians are people who have books that have been revealed by Allah Ta'ala. In those books they are dictates, telling them to do this and do that, stay away from this, stay away from that. If you were to take and challenge any Christian randomly or other than that, choose him in the street. If you were to ask him, tell me about your religion, what Isa ibn Maryam said, you're going to find a person who's going to speak without any knowledge. They don't have any knowledge of their religion even though that they have their books. So the Messenger of Allah was telling his companions, the same thing is going to happen to this community, having the book, but not working by what's in the book. So that's how we all contribute to knowledge being taken out of the heart of not only ourselves, but the community. And that we have the Quran, and we have the Sunnah, but we don't work by either one of them. In another authentic hadith, Ikhwan, to show you the danger, that Ziyad ibn Labid was from the companions. And unlike us, the majority of them could not read and write. So their reading of the Quran was from memorization. And they were people who memorized the Quran. And he swore by Allah, wallahi, we read it, we teach our wives and our children. In spite of that, the Prophet told them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not going to benefit. Now if that's the condition with the companions who were memorizing the Quran, what about us? People who don't check the Quran hardly ever until Ramadan is going to be greater. So what's going to be the result? What's going to be the action? Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him and his father. He told us in another authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, showing the danger of not working by that which we know on whatever level you are on in Islam. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَدْرُسُ الْإِسْلَامِ كَمَا يَدْرُسُ وَشُّ الثَّوْبِ حَتَّى لَا يُدْرَى مَا سِيَامٌ وَلَا صَلَاةٌ وَلَا نُسُكٌ وَلَا صَدَقَةٌ وَلَيُسْرَى عَلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِي لَيْلَى فَلَا يَبْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْهُ آيَةٌ وَتَبْقَى طَوَائِفُ مِنَ النَّاسِ الشيخ الكبير والعجوز يقولون أدركنا آباءنا على هذه الكلمة لا إله إلا الله فنحن نقولها. The Messenger of Allah said that Islam is going to be demolished. The religion is going to be destroyed just as the embroidery destroys a thobe. When you come to put embroidery on a thobe, you destroy it. It becomes worn, torn. until the point that is not going to be known by this community. What is fasting? What is salat? What is hajj? And what is sadaqah? The people are not going to be practicing those institutions and those pillars. He went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that happens, Allah Ta'ala is going to take the Quran from off of the earth until there does not remain a single ayat on the earth. No one will remember anything from the Quran in one night. And then there will be from the people a group, an old man and an old woman. And their statement is going to be, we found our fathers and we found them saying this word, La ilaha illallah, so we said it. The meaning of that hadith is what? When the Muslims leave practicing the four pillars of Al-Islam, as a result of that, Allah Ta'ala takes from them the Qur'an, to the point that no one's practicing the Qur'an. Now you brothers who have traveled to the Muslim world, whether it's the Arab world, or Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, wherever you have traveled, if you are Muslim from that part of the country, now let us look at our own personal selves here. Let a man look inside of his soul, inside of his own shirt. Don't look to your neighbor. Look at yourself. And look at the reality of this last hadith, the hadith of Hudhayfa. If we were to think right now about all of our relatives who are close and who are far, our aunts and uncles on both sides, their children or our cousins, if we were to think now about all of our relatives, we will find that the majority of our relatives don't make salah. Everyone think about his own situation. The majority of them don't make salah. So the question is, if this is the condition of the Muslim, if a man is not making the salah, which is the second pillar of Al-Islam, the most important pillar of action, then how is it possible that that person is going to fast in Ramadan or he's going to make Hajj? How is it possible? It's impossible. Even if he fasts in the month of Ramadan, as we know, some people who don't pray, they fast for their health. Wallahi, he's not fasting the fast of Islam. If he goes to Hajj and he's not praying, he's the one who's complaining to us, oh, it's too hot out here. Oh, I want to go back home. The other pillars after Salat, if you're not taking care of the Salat, you can't take care of the other pillar. So the point is, in the Muslim world, this is our condition. Just so that no one can claim that I'm picking on the Arabs or people who were born and they grew up as Muslims, we'll give you another example of how we as Muslims, whether you embrace Islam or you grew up in Islam, how we don't practice but a fraction of what we know. Even if you're not a person who knows a lot about Islam, you know something, and a lot of what we know we don't practice. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, and we consider you brothers from the best of the Muslims in Orlando. The people have made sacrifices to come to the masjid. People are jumping through loops in order to make it to Jummah. There are those of us who work an hour early every single day of overtime we work in order to have Friday off. People work on Saturday and Sunday in order to come from Jummah. So no one has any power or ability to make anyone come. So we consider the people here to be of the best people of the Muslims in this city. And yet the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Ahl al-Quran, awtiru fa inna allaha witrun wa yuhibbul witr. O people of the Quran, O people of Al-Islam, make witr. For verily Allah is witr and He loves witr. Pray salat to witr. For verily Allah is witr and He loves witr. What's the meaning of the hadith? The meaning of the hadith is, if you find yourself, Ya Abdullah, eating a date or a grape, if you were to have the intention while eating that date that you're going to eat 3, 5, 7, or 9, or 11 dates, and you stop on an odd number, this is ibadah in Al-Islam. The hadith is telling you and encouraging you to do things in the number of witr. Stop at 3 dates, 5 dates, 7 dates, 9 dates. For verily Allah is witr. Allah is one. Allah is odd. And He loves witr. The point that we want to draw from this hadith is, everyone knows, ikhwan, from amongst us, the importance of the witr salat. one raka'at that the man makes before he goes to sleep. The witr salah is more important than the sunnahs that are connected to Jummah. It's more important than the sunnahs that are prayed before or after Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, or Isha. Why? Because when the Prophet used to travel, or when he was in Medina, he always prayed witr. But when he used to travel, he used to leave off the other sunnah, with the exception of al-witr and the two rak'at of fajr. And yet, the majority of us, we're not praying salatul witr, one rak'at. And we know about it. That is a sunnah mu'akkadah. The point that we want to make, ikhwan, is if we don't work by what we know, no matter how little it is that you know, you can directly contribute to the fact that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will take from this ummah knowledge. The second issue that we want to mention, and this is extremely important in light of what we're dealing with today. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with both of them, him and his father. He told us in an authentic hadith that's been collected by al-Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمِ انْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبُضُ الْعِلْمِ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يُبْقِ عَالِمًا اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. He said that Allah is not going to snatch out of the hearts of the people knowledge one time. But the way that Allah is going to take the knowledge from the people is by causing the scholars of this ummah to die. And when the scholars die, the people will begin to take ignorant people as their leaders. So they'll begin to ask those leaders questions for Islamic verdict, for fatwa. What is this? Halal and haram. And the ignorant person who's not qualified will respond by that which is wrong. So the one who gave the verdict will go astray, and the one who took the verdict will go astray. Many of us have heard that hadith many times. When the Tabi'een came in upon Anas ibn Malik to complain to him what Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Zalim was doing to them. وَلَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا يَسْتَهِقْ قَتَلَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ الزُّبَيْرِ قَتَلَ سَعِيدَ بْنُ جُبَيْرِ كَانَ قَاتِلَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. They came in to complain to Anas ibn Malik about this zalim, this fasiq, the leader of the Muslim. Anas ibn Malik told the companions or those tabi'een that he heard the Prophet say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ عَامٍ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدُهُ شَرُّ مِنْهُ فَاسْبِرُوا. There is not a year, O you people, except that the year that comes after it is worse than the year that preceded it. Many people, we heard this hadith, but we have the wrong meaning or understanding of the hadith, or we don't understand what the hadith is really saying. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu explained the meaning of this hadith when he was talking to his students, and he told them, لا يأتي عليكم زمان إلا وهو شر مما كان قبله وإني لا أعني أميرا خيرا من أمير ولا عام خير من عام ولكن علماءكم وفقهاءكم يذهبون ثم لا تجدون لهم بديلا أو خلفاء فيأتي قوم فيفتون برأيهم. He told his people the meaning of this hadith. There is not a sinner or a year. There is not a year that will come to us except that the year after it is worse than the one that preceded it. And I'm not talking about a year that is worse because you have an emir who's better or worse than the emir that went before, the leader. The leader of Egypt this year is so-and-so. And then the leader after him this next year is so-and-so. He said, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the good that you have in the money and the economy of your country. This year is like this, the next year is worse. He said, I'm not talking about that. The meaning that one year doesn't come except the next year is worse is that there will be scholars who will die. They will die this year. And then there will not be other scholars to come after them the next year to take their place. And there will come people who take their places, who give their verdict and their opinions based upon their hawa. I'm sure you heard about the scholar of the Muslim country who speaks Arabic, and he is actually a marja in the Arabic language. If the people have a question about the Arabic, he's one of the people they refer back to, a scholar from a famous and the oldest college on the face of the earth. He gave the fatwa that khinzir is halal today because the khinzir of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was filthy, but the khinzir today is purer and more healthy. So we can eat khinzir. The same scholar. Usury or interest is not haram. It became halal because of the condition of the people. Where does that fatwa come from? So this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about. And this is the fitna of what we're having to deal with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who know the ulama of al-Islam, who give the ulama of al-Islam their rights, who take their religion and their directions from the ulama of al-Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى التوفيق والثبات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Ikhwani, a few weeks ago, this same khutbah we were going to give to you, because one of the great and tremendous scholars of al-Islam, he passed away. The scholar by the name of Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him. It's very unfortunate that we as Muslims, we look at al-Islam and we look at each other like it's a football game. Because one man is one color or from one country, we look at him and we are suspicious and we don't like him because his color is different or the country that he comes from is different. No one can doubt, ikhwan, the su'adhan that is present between different groups of people. There are certain people from the Muslims who don't like Arabs. Wallahi, I can't lie to you. When I became a Muslim, I didn't like Arabs from the Gulf area because of what I used to think from what I heard so much. Muslims from Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and the Gulf areas, I used to not like them. Was it because they did something to me? No. It's because of the people that I was around. I used to hear in the masjid that they had those problems between themselves. And this still exists. And that's why we don't take the sighting of the moon when it comes from this country or that country. But if it comes from this country or that country, we'll take it. This is the condition of the people. No one can lie about that. Some of the people, unfortunately, they don't have any concept or idea of the level of Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. But because he was in Saudi Arabia, you hear people say, oh, that's the scholar who died thinking that the earth was flat. And he said if anyone didn't think that they were a kafir. The Sheikh, he made that mistake of thinking that the earth was flat based upon what he understood from the Quran. But don't you know that the Sahabas made mistakes that were greater than that? We're not going to get into that. رضي الله عنهم. Human beings make mistakes. So why should we hate that Sheikh because he made that one mistake that you know about? What about all those other things that the Sheikh did that's good that you don't even know about? You don't know one book of the Sheikh. The khutbah is not about Abdulaziz ibn Baz. It's about us, the Ummatan Nas. We are regular Muslims who work every day and we're trying to make ends meet. What is our position with the scholars of al-Islam? That's the point. I don't know anything about this scholar and yet I have something in my heart. Why? Because he's on the other football team. He's from Saudi Arabia. This hadith that we mentioned today, Allah will take the knowledge from the people by causing the scholars to die. Wallahi, when the scholars of the past used to hear about the death of other scholars, they used to sit and cry because they knew the time was coming for Yawm al-Qiyamah. Whereas now when we hear people die from the people of knowledge, We curse them and say negative things. We make ghibah about them. In these last few months, 6 months only, this ummah has lost scholars that we haven't heard of, and we don't even know the level of their Islamic scholastic aptitude. 3 days ago, we lost a scholar from the scholars of Al-Medina. He was a scholar from Egypt. He taught in the Prophet's masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for over 50 years. His name is Atiyah Muhammad Salim. May Allah have mercy upon him. Only 3 days ago. We don't know who he is. A man can be Maliki from one of the countries in North Africa, and he doesn't know that the Sheikh Atiyah Muhammad Salim is the foremost scholar in the Maliki madhhab. Allah took him off of the face of the earth. A man that any time the brothers from America who were studying in his daraj, any time they asked him a question, no matter who you were, he would respond by saying, Ya Bunayya, the answer is this and this. Oh my little son. This ummah has lost, Ikhwan, a scholar by the name of Hamad al-Ansari. Another tremendous scholar of hadith. From Pakistan, there's a scholar by the name of Abdul Qadir al-Sindi. Who is he? We don't know. He was lost, taken away, only a month and a half ago. Right now, we got news yesterday morning of the condition of the premier scholar of hadith in the dunya today. The Bukhari of this ummah today. The one who we talked about a few weeks ago when his student was here, Abu Usama Salim al-Hilali. He gave the khutbah in Arabic and we translated. His sheikh's name is Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani. There is not a Muslim who is writing today books about Islam, and he's putting in the footnotes or inside of his book hadith, except that he says this hadith is authentic or weak based upon what Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani said. We got news yesterday that the Sheikh is now in the hospital in critical condition because his kidneys have failed him. If Allah Ta'ala takes him, like he has taken all of those ulama, it is a clear indication, Ikhwan, of the condition of the times that we're living in right now. And how the Muslim can hear these names and it never ever passed his mind before. Never heard it before. So we are not a people who are encouraging others to only take the scholar that you know from your country. Prophet sallallahu alayhi said, إِنَّ الْعُلَمَاء وَرَّثُوا الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دَرْهَمًا وَإِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ فَمَنْ أَخَذَ بِهِ فَقَدْ أَخَذَ بِحَظِّ الْوَاتِ. Those scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. And those prophets do not leave anything as inheritance, money, the dirham. They don't leave any money for the people. But what they leave for their inheritance is knowledge. So whoever takes from that knowledge, he has taken a great portion. Brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, the point here is, number one, let us not contribute directly. When is the time going to come that you brothers stop getting up running out of the masjid? When are you going to buy one book for yourself? One book to read about Al-Islam in a week? When was the last time one of us read about our religion? Why is the religion so cheap to us? It's enough that I'm going to run out to go chase my tail again so that I can get another piece of Wonder Bread. How can a man be satisfied with sitting and saying, I love being an ignorant person about my religion. I'm like a Christian or a Jew. You come to me and you ask me, what does shirk mean? I say, I don't know. He says, I don't know. Am I saying that we all have to be scholars of the religion? That would be causing our lives to be a fitna. We all can't be scholars. We need doctors. We need people who are mechanics. We need people who are going to be teachers. We need all of that. But the basic concepts and precepts of this religion, it should be something that we concern ourselves with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ikhwan, to put inside of our hearts the desire to read at least a little bit about this religion. And if we become those people who refuse to read, to at least give us the tawfiq not to talk and not to be opinionated. How can a man have no knowledge and yet he has an opinion? You have disqualified yourself from participating in the circle of discussion because you have no knowledge. So if you don't want to read, be satisfied with what your condition is. May Allah Ta'ala plant into our heart the seed to have the desire to learn.